You're on a pot? Keep on up. I'm Mark Hancock. Anyway, so the topic of the talk is motivation, the inside story. Attention. I think a good definition of a teacher would be a sculptor of attention. If you think you're modelling attention, because who does the learning is the student. What the teacher does is model their attention so that it's appropriate and useful for the learning. Attention. You don't get any kind of teaching or any kind of learning without attention first. If the person isn't paying attention, they're not learning. So it's a very important concept, and it's related to motivation, which we're going to talk about today. Right, there's I'm going to show two ways of manipulating attention. The first one is this directing attention. The recipient, or the victim, is paying attention to this against their will. This figure here, it could be a metaphor, it could be a teacher, or it could simply be something more abstract like circumstance. But in any case, this individual is not paying attention voluntarily. In the second case, attracting attention, whatever this is, it has a certain magnetism. And the victim is no longer a victim, but a willing accomplice. Looking at this, paying attention to this, because of something intrinsic about this. So you have this contrast between extrinsic and intrinsic. Let's supposing that this object is not an object, but the English language, or let's say a lesson. An example of an extrinsic interest might be, for example,
people gonna take an exam.
Pass an exam. Or if you went to Michael Carrier's plenary yesterday morning at 9 o'clock, he mentioned a list of very powerful ones. He said, it's statistically proven that if you know English, you can get a 20% better salary.
Except if you're a teacher.
Except if you're a teacher.
New kind of job.
But that list that he gave, I think there were three things. Well, the first two of them were certainly extrinsic. The third one was technology, and he was saying that they actually like it. So perhaps that was more intrinsic. So what's intrinsic then? Intrinsic is, you sometimes get students, you may be students yourselves of this description, who actually like learning languages. They might like this particular language, they grow to like it. They might not like it to begin with, but they learn to love it, you know. You're probably that category yourself, in which case that's a kind of intrinsic interest. So we talk about extrinsic motivation and intrinsic motivation. I would like to say that both are useful in getting attention, but you get a different quality of attention. Inspired or expired, that's a nice contrast, isn't it? Expired meaning dead. Here's a quote from Mihaly. That was my experience perfectly. This is how I felt on leaving school. I hated school myself, and then I became a teacher. Here's another quote from Stevic, and here's where he mentions the idea of quality of attention. What Stevic is saying is that this kind of attention leads to lifelong learning, something which is going to continue, and which has a certain intensity about it, which is much more powerful than this kind. And the final quote is a definition of intrinsic motivation from this one I chose because it starts to become less theoretical and more concrete. These two were designers of computer games. They're not English teachers. They're theoreticians in the area of computer gaming. They're looking at activities rather than a sort of abstract quality of attention. They're looking at specific activities. What makes the activity intrinsically appealing? This is starting to look useful. You can make use of this. And what they do is they make a classification system of activities which are intrinsically appealing. And the one I'm going to present later is partially inspired by theirs. Before going there, though, I want to tell a story which illustrates, in my view, the difference between intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. It's a story based on one which I read in a book by Leo Van Leer. It's this man is Mr. Smith, and he lives in a terraced house in the north of England, the end of a row. And the end of his house is a great big blank wall. The boys, this is going back a bit in the 1960s, right? They took some chalk and drew a goal against the wall, and every day after school they went here and started playing football against the wall. He became very frustrated with this because he was sitting inside at the time trying to listen to the radio, and he couldn't hear anything with this bang, bang, bang against the wall. They weren't very thick walls. So he thought, well, how can I get rid of these boys? He went out. He said, hey, why don't you go and play somewhere else, like the park, for example? And they said, no, we prefer it here. Now, Mr. Smith is not stupid. He has an intuitive grasp of human nature. And he comes up with a plan. He goes out to the boys and he says, here, here's one coin for each of you. One coin. And they go, oh, what's this for? And he says, for your work. I used to have a terrible problem with pigeons. And they were making a mess everywhere. Horrible birds. They're like flying rats. I hate them. And now you're playing football. You've scared them all away. So I'm paying you for your work. And they were very pleased with this, obviously. And they went straight to the sweet shop. And the next day they came back. And they knocked on his door. And they played football for a short time. And then they knocked on his door. And they said, can you pay us again? And he said, no, I'm not paying anymore. And they said, well, if you're not paying us, we're not working. End of problem. The moral of the story is motivation is like, you know, the bird cuckoo, cuckoo. Mm-hmm. It goes, puts its egg in a nest and kicks out the other. If you take extrinsic motivation, say for example you say to your students, study this, it's in the exam tomorrow. Extrinsic motivation. If you do that, you put that motivation in the nest, it kicks out the intrinsic motivation. And then when you take that away, there's nothing left. Take away the exam, and there's no motivation left. So you have to be very careful when you're using extrinsic motivation to discipline your class. And I understand it perfectly. I've done this many times myself. I understand that discipline requires it. But beware. If we can get intrinsic, it's much better. So, coming back then to what Malone and Lepper were saying about activities which attract attention. Let's call them attention magnets. My classification system is in four. Let's call it the IPEC box. And don't look at the handout for a moment, because then this game won't work. You have to guess the hidden words. So, this one is about discovering things about the world. Interest. Okay. Inspiration. This one, expressing yourself.
Passion.
Personalization. Being entertained. That one's a bit of easy actually. Playing. Playing. Creativity. That could be here.
Clown.
Clown. Playing the clown. Yeah. Okay. Well, what quality do many games have, for example?
Competitive.
Yeah. Or this game. What quality does this game have?
Guessing.
Challenge. Let's see. Okay. So that's the basic structure of my classification system. And the objective of this system, which I'm going to build up, the objective is this, to function as a kind of brainstorming help. If you're trying to design a lesson and you want to think of something that's going to make it intrinsically appealing, you can use this to generate ideas. If, on the other hand, you're using your course book, then what you need to do is the opposite. You need to identify on the page what appeal it has, and once you've identified it, make sure you beef it up. So an interesting quality of these classifications is that the way the rows and columns go. You'll see that in this column, interest and entertainment, they tend to relate more to the input, the text, the input, what the student is receiving from you. Whereas these two, personalization and challenge, they're more to do with what the student is doing, the output, the task. So that's an interesting feature. And then in the rows, these are about truth, reality, about the world or about yourself or themselves. Whereas this is fictional. For example, music, entertainment, television, films, or games, where the students... A game is a kind of fictional... You know, if you're thinking of a game of football, it's a fictional combat. It's not real combat. It's a fictional... So in that sense, this row is sort of fiction.